We welcome you into the studio, our exclusive one-on-one with head coach Chip Kelly, presented by Gatorade. I'm Dave Spadaro. Coach, thanks for joining us again. A big one this week against the New York Giants. You talked after the game in Denver about wanting to see your players back at the NovaCare Complex. What have you seen since they've been back?
They were great yesterday. We had a real good day of preparation. Usually we're in on Tuesday and corrections from the game the day 2 days prior, and then starting to implement the game plan for the Giants, and our guys came back with a great attitude yesterday and expect that to continue.
Four games in, a quarter pole of the 2013 season here. Just in general, how do you feel about the team, kind of the state of the team according to Chip Kelly?
Yeah, I think I like them. I like being around them. I like their mindset. I like how they prepare. Obviously, there's always a transition when you're taking over a team. So it's, you know, we're still feeling our way through, but I think everything we ask of them, their effort, the little teeny things, their attitude that they come here every day has been outstanding.
You see a young core that you like, that you see growing, and that you're going to build around here for the future?
Yeah, I don't look at it like that. I look at it like, do I like the team that we see here every single day? And you don't look at a guy and say, well, he's old, so he's not going to be here next year. I think some of our older players have been fantastic, the Brent Celek, the Todd Herrmanns, the D'Amico Ryans, you know, guys that I think you can show the younger guys this is what it's supposed to be like when you're a professional football player. And I think it starts from the top down, and our older guys have been fantastic. I do see some young guys that I think are going to be really good football players in this league, and will continue to develop, but it's overall liking the entire team.
Four games in here, 1-3 record. The NFC East is wide open. It's an NFC East game this week. And, you know, a win on Sunday, Dallas loses to Denver. Eagles are in first place in the NFC East. As you talk to the team this week, is that big picture message part of it?
Yeah, TBU. True but useless.
Yeah.
They don't give a trophy out for the first week of October. We checked, but they don't. So, and I would put it to you, who was in first place in the first week of October last year?
The Eagles.
Were they?
Yeah, 3-1 after a win against.
I didn't know that.
The season didn't go from there.
You know, we don't talk that way. We really spend our entire focus on 1 week as a season. You know, so whether you win or lose on Sunday, when you come back to work on Tuesday, it's we either gotta stop patting ourselves on the back or stop kicking ourselves in the tail and prepare for our next opponent. And then, what's our Tuesday look like? What's our Wednesday look like? What's our Thursday look like? Leading into our game on Sunday. And that's really the rhythm we have to get in. We're playing on Sundays throughout. We were a little off from a rhythm standpoint just because we played on a Monday, we played on a Sunday, we played on a Thursday. But from now on out, we know when we're playing, we know who we're playing, and it's about getting into a rhythm of understanding that the preparing is the most important thing that we control. And if it's something that we don't control, whether somebody beats somebody else over the weekend or all those other things, you're wasting too much energy on things that aren't in your control. Just worry about what you can control. And our control right now is how do we prepare for the Giants.
Chip, this is a young team, and there are young players. And I'll just use one as an example, Earl Wolf. You like his energy. You like the good things he's doing. He's making some mistakes as well as every young player does. I wonder, how do you what's your approach to coaching somebody like that? Do you accentuate the positives with players like that? Is it, hey, let's good things here, and let's work on the things that are not going as well? I mean, how do you work with young kids trying to bring them into the league? And
I think you got to be straight up honest with them, you know, and tell them exactly what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. You know, I don't think you say, hey, let's just be positive with them and neglect the mistakes he made. And when you have somebody like Earl that wants to get better and has a passion for playing football, then it's easy. You know, he knows when he makes some mistakes, but I think it's our job as coaches to make sure that he doesn't continue to make the same mistake. And a lot of times they're never going to be able to fully understand it until they're put in that situation. You know, you can talk all you want and say, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. And they may grasp it. They can spit it back to you verbatim of this is my responsibility. But until you get an opportunity to see him do it and put him in those situations, do they really truly learn? And I think the one thing about Earl is his energy and I think his confidence in himself hasn't waned. I think he's out there throwing his body around, and you know, you love to see those things. You know, those are sometimes that effort part is a not coaching thing. It's a, you know, it's an intangible that they have and a quality that they have. And it's one of the reasons we really liked Earl in this process and drafted him. And so it's putting him on the field, constantly making sure that he understands what his responsibilities are and what he's supposed to be doing, and then letting him go play. And you know, I think there's that fine line from making sure that he's thinking about a million different things. Well, then he's not playing you know, with that same energy and that same passion, you know, what he can do. So, but I think Earl's progressed since game one. You know, he's, you're into game four. Did he make a couple of mistakes on Sunday? Yeah, but we all made mistakes on Sunday. So, you know, it's a growing process for him.
Bill Davis has talked about the defense making some progress. Specifics that you could mention that you've seen?
You know, I think we've done a really good job of understanding what Billy wants, especially when we're playing zone coverage, of making sure we're deep to short. We're not getting the ball thrown over our head, aside from the one post route right at the end of the first half when we should have had a middle safety and didn't. But besides that, I think, you know, we're keeping the ball in front of us. You know, we got to do a better job of rallying up and tackling when the ball's thrown in front of us. I think our effort's good. I think our guys run to the football on the defensive side of the ball. So, obviously, it's a work in progress. You know, when you're new coming in and everything's new to everybody, you know, you're four games into what we hope will be a very, very long tenure here. It's a process, and we have to understand the process is that you have to walk before you run. But we got a bunch of guys that we trust, and we'll continue to develop them.
Is part of that keeping everything in front of you one of the reasons why the red zone defense? I mean, Denver was not as good as you wanted it, but prior to that, the red zone defense had been pretty darn good.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's that in the red zone, you're not really talking about keeping guys in front of you because people aren't going to run by you down there in the red zone. That's not a little bit different.
Well, why have you had success for the most part?
Well, I think our guys do a good job when they understand, you know, that moving the ball between the 20s is, although it's important, it's not the end all. It's really being sharp in the red zone. I think things start to tighten up down there, and the windows are a little bit tighter. You're a little bit closer to your work, and I think our guys are doing a good job of that.
This running offense, number one in the NFL, Chip, why so successful? Can you kind of talk about, take us inside, the scheme, is it the same that you ran in Oregon, or are there tweaks that have been added?
There's a lot of tweaks, but I think obviously, number one, any type of success you have in this game starts with personnel. I think we have a very solid offensive line. You know, there's a couple veterans in there that have played a lot of football, and Todd and Evan and Jason Peters, and then you throw in the athleticism of Jason Kelce and obviously Lane Johnson at tackle. I don't think Brent Celek gets enough credit for how well he's blocking right now. And we've got some backs that can run, and you also have a threat of run from your quarterback. So I think you're making people defend the field a little bit more. You know, it's not just a 5-3 guy in the 40 at quarterback handing the ball off and carrying out a fake. Well, you really don't expect that type of guy to be able to run the ball. And in the few times that Mike has been asked to run the ball as a play call, he's been very, very successful. So, you know, you really got two running threats in the backfield. You got an athletic line that, you know, has got some veteran present to us, and you got a tight end that's really blocking well, and our receivers are blocking real well downfield. So
you feel like the red zone offense is just eliminate some of these mistakes and everything's going to be okay?
Yeah, I think that's on us. You know, sometimes you tip your cap and say, hey, that's a hell of a play by them. But I think in most instances in the red zones, whether it be a drop or a penalty, you know, that's on us. And we call those self-inflicted wounds, and we need to clean those up. We feel if we can clean up that, you know, although you're happy with the yardage you get, the yardage doesn't mean anything to you. That's another TBU. It's true but useless. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to score points especially when we're in the red zone. We've proven we can drive the ball in four games, but we need to come away with more points.
I do hesitate to ask about statistics because there are some TBUs. What are important statistics other than wins and points scored?
Turnover battle's huge. You know, I thought we did a real good job. I think that was our demise in the Chiefs game. You know, offensively, we didn't get it done. We turned the ball over too many times. We turned the ball over once on special teams. You know, when we threw an interception for a touchdown, that's 7 points, and we fumbled the ball on our 8-yard line. They kicked a field goal. We lost the game by 10. I mean, you can point directly to that. You know, I think that's a little bit more telling stat. And then even more important than that, we always talk about response after turnover. You know, in the first situation, our defense did an outstanding job. You put them on the field on the 8-yard line and to hold Kansas City to a field goal, that's just because you turn it over doesn't mean they're supposed to score, you know. And the same thing for us. If our defense creates turnovers for us, we need to turn those into points because you can be plus three in the turnover category, but if your offense doesn't do anything when they go back on the field, then it really doesn't matter if you're plus three. So, you know, we spend more time on the turnover and response after turnovers and some of the other stats that people look at.
What are the Giants looking like? You've spent a lot of time, obviously, watching them this week.
Yeah, they've been hurt. Mm-hmm. It's a really good football team. There's some outstanding football players on that team. You know, Eli Manning's one of the great quarterbacks in this league. He's already won two Super Bowls. You know, but I think they've been banged up. They've been banged up specifically on the offensive line, on the offensive side of the ball. But they do still have two outstanding receivers in Hicks and Cruz. Wilson at running back, I think, is a young player that is really starting to come into his own. So he's a dangerous threat. Anytime you have Eli Manning as your quarterback, they're always a threat. Defensively, Jason Pierre-Paul is one of the top defensive linemen in this league, along with Justin Tuck. He's coming off an injury, starting to round back into form. And they've had some injuries in the secondary. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what combinations they're going to put out there. But I think anytime you see the Philadelphia Eagles versus the New York Giants, that you know it's going to be a slugfest.
Are you one of those guys who believe the wounded animal is the most dangerous kind of animal?
I believe any animal is the most dangerous. So I don't think you put more stock in that just because he's wounded, now we have to pay more attention to him. Is that, you know, they've had our focus in terms of everything that we've done since our game against the Broncos, whether they have injuries or don't have injuries. I don't think you look at them and say, oh, they're not injured, so this one's going to be easy. There are no easy games.
Yeah. Coach, a lot of crazy things happen up there. Good luck on Sunday.
Okay.
Come back with a win. Chip Kelly in studio exclusively, presented by Gatorade. We thank you for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.